from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Yeah, Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He wants connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I am Steve Rosenblum. I'm Stevie Suckage. Let's take roll to see who else is here on a special edition of the Suckage Roll Call. Pedro Grifol.
Sucks, man. It sucks.
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 How many is that, Robbie?
That was 10.
All right, we're about halfway there. Pedro Grifol.
Sucks, man. It sucks.
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 Robbie Triano.
I think I suck too. Yeah.
No, hey, you Steve. Did it. We hit it 21.
21 times.
21 times.
Why 21?
21 suck salute. 21. One for every loss that ended his. My guy Joey Isom, my Trader Joe, said, how does Pedro Grifol get fired after a one-game losing streak? Well, you know, the standards 35th and Soil the Bed are very high. They can't afford a one-game losing streak. 229 Texter, I haven't even given out any information. They just know. 229 Texter, I nominate Pedro Grifol for the Saturday Suckage Hall of Fame. No manager, I don't think, has ever sucked as much as he. Well, we hope we did justice to Pedro's suckage. Texter says, I always feel bad for Robbie. Bruce and David pump him up. How great he is. And then he has no choice but to suck when he gets with Rosie. 815 texter now says, please don't do this for the entire episode. Now my wife wants to kill me.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
Pedro Grifol.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
To your wife. We do love her. We appreciate her letting you come out to play. All right. Guest today. This is, wow, what a day. Okay. Chris Emma will be here at 11:25 and then 1:30 or so, whatever, is halftime of the Bears exhibition game in Buffalo. By the way, Chris Emma, Rick Gregg, WBBM Sports, our brother station over there, tweeted out, whoever had CMA670 as the first reporter whose voice was heard on Hard Knocks, please come forth to claim your prize. That's it. We're bringing him on. You betcha. That's Chris Emma. Later on tonight, Cubs and Sox, 7:15 on the South Side. We will play the game, Chris Getz Lying or Stupid. We'll try to figure out later. We'll do that later. Because you can't have a managerial search you call exhaustive while eliminating a bunch of guys with World Series rings. Lying or stupid? I mean, is that Getz code for an exhaustive search of Tony La Russa's phone contact list? So we'll examine that at the corner of 35th and Soil the Bed. The word soil is not what I want to say, but this is public radio. We need to protect the license. For now, it's all Justin Fields all the time. No, wait. He's in Pittsburgh. They played last night. I can't resist. He's not here. We're rating the greatest preseason game in the history of history. But for what it's worth, to remind people how the panic peddling of how devastating it would be to lose a quarterback who can't play quarterback. Fields started last night for Mike Tomlin's Steelers, normally a member of the suckage, and a legendary member of the suckage roll call. But without Fields, all these people said, oh my God, how are we going to survive? Fields was 5 of 6 for 67 yards, no TDs. He ran for 2 yards and, of course, was sacked twice, both on third down, I believe, and he fumbled twice. The ball security nightmare. Fumbled twice. Now, it was blamed on the center. Mike Tomlin blamed it on the center. He got the center out of there. But that's perfect. A center who can't hike the ball to a quarterback who can't play quarterback in the NFL. Meanwhile, that sets a pretty low bar for Caleb Williams. Here he is. He's the guy. It's time. Because we moved on to that. We've moved on to Caleb Williams finally making his debut. Maybe the offensive line will be there, maybe not. We're trying to keep track of it. Robbie, have we seen an update on which offensive linemen are out there aside from the spot that used to be the empty suit that used to be Nate Davis?
I have not, but I can guarantee Nate Davis is week to week, which is very weird because it's usually day to day, but now it's week to week. It's going to be month to month.
Sure will be, yes, team to team. So there's a chance, according to interim coach Matt Eberflus early in the week, that Caleb Williams would have four of his five offensive linemen. I don't know if they're going to hold out some veterans. We still don't know. We're not sure about the offensive line and some other vets. But it seemed more likely they would have had a greater chance at health 10 days ago. What you're going to see today, this situation today, should have happened 10 days ago. And this is why I fear interim coach Matt Eberflus is retarding the progress of Caleb Williams, the most important person in Hallis Hall. I don't know if he, maybe coach scared, maybe he's just dumb about it. But this would be his first action when it should have happened 10 days ago against the Texans. We have Eberflus, he's still the coach apparently, talking about what he expects to see today, what he wants from Williams, what's important. So we'll play Matt Eberflus, and he will tell you what he wants.
Just more what we see now, where he is in terms of the progress. You know, and this is his first time in live action. He's been getting a lot of good reps with our one defense, so I think it'll feel similar to him. But I really feel that when it's live there in the pocket, to be able to maneuver in the pocket, ride the pocket, escape either on the outside, B gaps, all those things, and be able to deliver the ball, keep your eyes downfield. And really just the operation of it, getting in and out of the huddle, or no pre-snap penalties, just clean operation.
Okay, first of all, let's back up to his first mistake. He's been getting a lot of good reps with our number one defense, so I think it'll be similar for him. No, it won't. Buffalo plans to play its starters like the first quarter, okay? So for whatever Williams is going to see. The Bears' number one defense has been missing five starters and still beat Williams all week. The other stuff, let's talk about that. Live in the pocket, yeah. Real guy is looking to sack you. His own team can't sack him. Maneuvering in the pocket, escaping to the outside, being able to deliver the ball, keep your eyes downfield, the operation, the cadence, seeing the windows. That's what the Hall of Fame against Houston, the Hall of Fame game against Houston could have been, should have been. He had it closer to a healthy offensive line than he will today. And isn't that what you're doing? Isn't that what you're looking for? I mean, whether Nate Davis is never available, that's just plain fact. You have people you've signed to play in that place, but you have the other four seemingly healthier. And Eberflus defaulted to scared, the way so many NFL coaches go. Starting quarterbacks haven't played in the Hall of Fame game since 2016. So Eberflus was a lemming, not a thinker. His starting quarterback, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, the greatest hope the Bears have ever had at quarterback, needs NFL snaps. Needed NFL snaps 10 days ago. He needs them in the best situation, which would be a healthy offensive line. Running backs were healthy, right? I mean, do you see what's happening today? They're going to put Velus Jones in the backfield. They better not put him there. Velus Jones can't really play NFL football. And now you're asking this wide receiver and punt returner who can't return punts without fumbling, you're asking him to block? Anything the running backs do starts with blocking for Caleb Williams. If all the Bears are going to do is have Caleb Williams hand off three times or six times, it would have involved commanding a huddle, calling the play, repeating it as he hears it in his headset, getting up and surveying the line of scrimmage, diagnosing defense, maybe change the protection, something. Whatever he's going to do, the game operation, as interim coach Matt Eberflus called it. Why couldn't he have done that against Houston? Why couldn't he have seen what it looked like, felt it when he got out there? You got an extra game because of the Hall of Fame, because all your guys went to the Hall of Fame. You owned Hall of Fame weekend. And he, I think, choked as the interim coach. Jason Leiser of the Sun-Times had pointed out Williams doesn't need to be amazing Saturday. He simply needs to be out there. He needs to set his internal clock to the speed of NFL pass rushers and sharpen his grasp on how quickly passing windows close. Why now and why not last week? Same things apply. Why blow the chance to let the most important human at Halas Hall experience all there is to experience? I want to see him throw to make magic. If the offensive line is sketchy, you run the ball. You throw the checkdowns. You whatever. Your running game is still going to be important. DeAndre Swift is still going to be important. If Williams had gotten game day snaps 10 days ago, when he could have, but for lame coaching, he would have gotten everything else that goes along with it. And then this week, Williams likely and the coaches could have felt bolder in whatever they're planning to do with a banged up offensive line. You heard Shane Waldron talking this week about, well, he's getting used to it. This is a game kind of thing. You know, a lot of how does he talk to the players? They're not his starters or the backups. How does he deal with that? They used to the cadence. Yeah. Okay. And you're making him do that in the first game when he's got no perspective. he's got practice where he can't get hurt. Here, he can get hurt. You could have given him a little more confidence. You could have certainly could have given him experience. Now he's behind a makeshift line, seemingly reducing the game to Hike 101. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe they've seen stuff in practice. There's freedom they're going to give the guy, and we're going to see some showy plays and the sizzle, and maybe a bad offensive line allows him to run around, forces him to run around. And you've heard receivers. You've heard everybody talk about defensive players, too. You've heard them talk about the remarkable accuracy he has when ad-libbing, when running around, when scrambling. Okay. But I'm concerned about the care and feeding of this guy. The care and feeding of plays, of playing experience. If you plan to do 45 to 65 play, that range, that window, that's what Eberflus said. If you plan to do that, why wouldn't you start early when you had your team at its healthiest? It might have only needed to be one series. All right? Maybe you go six plays. All right, that's enough. Come out. We need the Tyson Bagent experience, and then we're going to have Brett Rippon's going to be our closer. Brett Rippon's a better closer than Hector Neris. Oh, my God. Anyways, they didn't do that. And maybe it won't matter at the end. Maybe it won't matter once they get to Tennessee. But the way it looks now, denying him experience, denying the guy who needs the experience most, because he's the most important person in House Hall, underscores my belief that Matt Eberflus is an interim coach for a lot of reasons. We'll find out. They play at noon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, as I said, the show will have Chris Emma and Chris Emma. We're going to have Chris Emma, score reporter, after this break, and we'll be previewing Bears-Bills and all manner of things to watch. Besides Caleb Williams, there are other things of interest. And Chris will also join us at halftime, after the Bears have played whatever they're going to play against Buffalo. And in between, at 12:40, Hub Arkush, our senior NFL analyst here on The Score. 12:40 is a perfect time. Caleb Williams will have played whatever he's going to play, or he will have been carried off the field if that's what has to happen. And maybe he can get a group rate in the bunk next to Nate Davis, because they certainly probably have that on speed dial. And the rest of the time we'll be discussing Bears football and Nick Saban and Hard Knocks. And we'll get back to the Sox. And also it's been a remarkable thing. The Olympics have been a remarkable thing. We may or may not talk about Noah Lyles' booger cam, but Bears safety Jonathan Owens, his father-in-law, got a special gift. We'll talk about that. It's certainly an Olympic moment. Don, don, don. And, of course, you can't mention the Olympics and Snoop Dogg without WB Club. We will do all that if given the opportunity. Now we'll take a break. We'll come back. Chris Emma will be talking Bears, Bills. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last time I was on the field was November 18th. To be back on the field where I'm all, you know, suited up, all the guys out there with me, new team, new city, new everything. Been working my tail off. We've been working our tail off. So we're excited. We're all excited. I just can't wait to get back out there and be able to throw my first pass, take the first hit that I, you know, in the NFL, things like that. So a lot of things to be excited about, and we can't wait.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's Caleb Williams. He was on Up and Adams, Kay Adams, talking about getting out there, and he's out there on the field. He's got his headphones on. He's adjusting his headphones in his shorts and shirt and throwing passes to all of his new best friends. And there's a stiff wind, the strong wind at Highmark Stadium in Buffalo. We will see how he can spin it, as they say in the football business. So this being Saturday Suckage, where I suck so you don't have to, I need to correct some things. I said the Cubs-Sox game was at 7:15. That would be Eastern. It's at 6:15. Just so you know. And I need to let you know this part, and as I correct this mistake, that tonight the Crosstown Series resumes on the South Side as the Cubs take on the White Sox. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:35. Wait a minute. All right. Can we correct this? Why did a texter told me 6:15? I assume the texters are right. Because this other texter, I had an 815 texter, said when we did the 21 sucks salute for Pedro Grifol, said thanks. Now my wife wants to kill me. A different 815 texter requested that we do this for the entire episode. And yet another texter to 312-644-6767. Said that I'm ruining the beautiful Saturday with my negative vibes.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So can we get whatever's true? I'll leave that to Robbie. In the meantime, we're going to go to the Scores hotline. We do that because waiting on the other end of the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois is Chris Emma, the legendary voice of Hard Knocks. I love that. First media voice heard on the Hard Knocks series featuring the Bears, first of five episodes. Chris Emma, look at you, legendary and iconic, and here he is on Saturday Suckage. How have you come down to earth yet after being such a streaming star, Chris?
What a time to be alive, Rosie. How about it?
Yeah. Okay, so today it's all about the quarterback, Caleb Williams. Everybody's got, I read off Justin Fields' game yesterday, and Mark Potash tweeted out Mitch Trubisky. I forgot Trubisky was a Bill. He's going to play today. And that's,
yeah, you're going to get some Mitch Trubisky today, Rosie.
Yeah, and he was really good against the Bears last time, which didn't, but Caleb Williams goes out there, and so what's a passing grade for him for you?
I just want to see clean procedure pre-snap, you're breaking the huddle right, very simple things, avoiding penalties. We've seen a lot of false starts, cadence issues throughout camp, just the basic stuff to get a playoff. Like, that's what I'm looking for, is to have a clean operation. Look, this defense in practice every day, they know the snap counts. They seem to be zeroing in on these things. They know what plays are coming. They've been going at each other for a while now, so I think it's really beneficial in a weird way for the Bears to go up against a different team and a different defense at this point. I just want to see a clean operation from Caleb Williams. You're not going to see much of anything in terms of this offense and the scheme. It's going to be vanilla. They're going to try to protect their quarterback, not only obviously in the offensive line standpoint, but getting the ball out quickly, making sure he's out of harm's way. I think you're going to see probably a series or two, if that, from Caleb, and get him on his way.
Chris Emma is my guest. He covers the Bears for the Score right here on this very radio station, 670 AM. Bears, Bills, preseason opener, Caleb Williams debut. All the stuff you talked about, and I talked about it earlier, is stuff that could have been accomplished against the Texans with probably a healthier offensive line, maybe a healthier team altogether. 10 days ago, when if you wanted to give him one series or two series, three plays, six plays, five plays, whatever it is, just let him hand off. Call the play. Hear it in your headphones. Hear it in your helmet. Call the play. Get to the line. See what you're looking at. Make sure the protection's right. Hand the ball off. Just go through that with in live action. And I just think that was a major mistake, potentially. And maybe they get over it. Maybe they've got better plans, bigger plans, more fun plans for him. But I don't know why it couldn't have been done 10 days ago. Have you heard a concrete reason, something that convinces you they made the right decision 10 days ago?
I've heard reasons. I don't think it really is what Matt Eberflus has thought of is, which is that I think he truly believes that there's not a ton of value for starters in the preseason. I think he sees, you know, the preseason is an opportunity to get guys at the bottom of the roster some opportunities to fight for a roster spot, to try to make this 53-man roster coming out of the year, out of the training camp. And I don't think Matt Eberflus values the preseason a ton compared to what they do every day in practice, which is structuring things and game-like atmosphere, game-like scenarios, playing out different, you know, two-minute mode and then red zone mode and things like that. Just every scenario they can possibly script out in practice. Matt Eberflus seems to value that a lot more than he does the idea of putting these guys out there in the preseason. And there's different trains of thought around the league. You know, Andy Reid, who's been pretty successful in his own right, is a guy who really values having his starters out there. There's a lot of coaches, more so new age coaches, who don't really value that too much. And Eberflus has some old school tendencies, but I think he's a new school guy when it comes to the preseason.
I don't think that makes sense at all. When you, on the one hand, you're saying, well, I don't value the preseason. And on the other hand, well, we got to get him to run a clean operation. There's nothing that makes up for game adrenaline, game preparation, live action. You could get hurt. Caleb Williams is not getting hurt. There's no pressure. There's no fear. There is not that game level. None of that makes sense to me. And that's why it's so aggravating. I don't know how he gets to talk out of both sides of his mouth. And maybe that's why I think he's an interim coach. But I just don't think you can. You tell me everything you want about practice. Tell me everything you want about the controlled scrimmage and all that. And he's going against the number one defense. And yeah, but it's not the game adrenaline. It's not the same thing. And I don't know how you can not believe in preseason when the most important player, most important human being at Hallis Hall, isn't getting into games and isn't given the coach doesn't think that's really important. Yet he's telling you what he wants to see, and all those things are important, right? I'm confused, Chris.
I get your point. Look, there's arguments you can poke on both sides of this. Yeah, I'm with you on that. There is a value to it. I just don't think I do believe in the reps in practice and what they're doing every day. I think there's absolutely value to that if you're scripting it right. And Matt Eberflus is a really detail-oriented coach. He wants to go through so many different scenarios in these practices. And there is value there. And you're going to get a ton of value this week when the Bengals come to town and you really – you know, you get that preseason-like atmosphere and you have environment, but you're scripting things differently, and you're really in control of the way things are playing out. So I understand your point, Rosie. I don't think you're going to see a ton of the starters in the preseason beyond today. Next weekend, they're back at Soldier Field with the Bengals following those practices. I don't know if you're going to see the starters for that one. Last year, after the joint practices with the Colts, the starters all sat out. And then you get to that last preseason game in Kansas City. Typically, that's a game where you see very little of the starters. So you might want to take in what you can of Caleb Williams today in the preseason stage, because I don't know how much more you're going to get here in this preseason.
So what else besides Caleb Williams will you be looking for? What if you have a checklist, or you don't even have to go in order, just randomly, what are you looking for and why, Chris Emma?
Yeah, I want to see the continuity on defense. This defense last year, toward the ends of the year, was one of the best in football. They really emerged to that point once Montez Sweat arrived, and they got off to a horrible start, though. And you kept hearing late in the season was Matt Eberflus saying, well, we just didn't have guys healthy out there in training camp. And that's true, but you're not really having guys healthy out there this year either. I want to see the way this group can click. I want to see if this group is truly coming together the way that they believe it can, which we've heard them say it's going to be a top-five caliber defense. You're going to have a beat-up secondary today. Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker were all sidelined in practice. I would doubt that they play at all today, unless they somehow were cleared in the last couple days. So That linebacker group in particular, that took him a while to really kind of mesh with Emmons and Edwards. I want to see them really click a little bit better during this preseason and kind of build that continuity. And then I want to see this defensive line come together. Jervon Dexter's a guy we've really had our eye on. I want to see if he has flash plays. Same with the young guy in Austin Booker, who they have really high expectations for. I want to see him full go getting after the quarterback, having impact moments out there. There's a lot of individuals in this defense that I'm really zeroing in on, but we believe this defense can be great this season, and I want to see if that can really start to come together here.
Chris Emma is my guest. He covers the Bears for The Score. That's the radio station you're listening to, like it or not, Chicago Sports Radio 670. And Chris Emma will also join me in a couple hours. We've got plans that after the first half, he'll come back on this here radio show, and we'll talk about what he saw, what he liked, what he didn't like, what's going on. Although you will call soon if should Caleb Williams get carried off on a stretcher, right? If they call for the cart, right? And so we can formally end the Bears season, right?
Well, what if he throws four touchdown passes in the first half?
In one series, that would be...
Come on.
In one series, Chris, that would be phenomenal. I would love to see that. I want to see that. How much Pat... Because there is a not a curiosity, but there is an excitement about... Look at those weapons. There's DJ Moore. We've seen what he can do with a guy who can't play quarterback in the NFL who's now in Pittsburgh. And we've seen Keenan Allen with his greatest season ever. He didn't even play every game. And Roma Dunze, who would be getting all kinds of attention if it weren't for Caleb Williams. And he's there. And then Cole Kmet, top 10 tight end. And Gerald Everett. And DeAndre Swift, who's suddenly going to add different dimensions to this. There's a lot of excitement about where the ball goes and who gets what and how they perform. And does this guy throw in stride, yards after the catch being a major part of the offense? Do you, from what you saw and heard from Shane Waldron and Caleb Williams, and how much passing will be in this kind of offense today?
Yeah, I'd like to see some of it. If you do see some passing, it's going to be, like you said, quick decisions, getting the ball out. I'm going to be watching when Caleb Williams does drop back to see the processing element. You can see it in practice every day. And frankly, you mentioned Justin Fields. That was his weakest link. He was not able to process well enough in the pocket to get the ball out quickly. And we saw more of that last night in Pittsburgh. Caleb Williams, this is his great strength, is processing, is getting the ball out, sound decisions, going through his progressions, getting the ball out to a window that other quarterbacks simply don't see. Like, he's able to do that in practice, and I want to see him now do that in a game. You mentioned the cast around him, Allen, Moore, Adunze, Swift. Like, this is the best assortment of individuals the Bears have had on offense in many years. Now you just got to put it together. That's the task of Caleb Williams as a rookie quarterback, and it's a challenge for him right out of the gates. And obviously that is the leading task of Shane Waldron, who's got to put together a scheme that fits everything in place. I think you're going to see early on in the regular season a heavy emphasis on the run, DeAndre Swift being a guy they're really going to rely on, and you're going to obviously set up Caleb Williams to be successful and see how far he can take you along the way. But initially, it's going to be, I don't want to say dumbed down, but it's going to be protecting a young quarterback and seeing what he can and can't do and then building from there. And that's the way you should approach it with a young quarterback.
One of the things people will see today and caught everybody by surprise this week was Velus Jones as a tailback, which seems like a last gasp kind of thing. And the scary thing is not that Velus Jones, who was overdrafted to start with and underperformed when all he was supposed to do was catch a punt and run with it and hold on to it, but the first order of business for tailbacks proving they belong in the NFL is to block. And I don't know that I want Caleb Williams in there with Velus Jones in the backfield. I don't know what the plans are. I would hope that DeAndre Swift is the guy there with Caleb Williams. How does that play out, and what did you think when you heard or when as this was being discussed and revealed?
Yeah, I think Velus Jones at running back is something you'll see with the twos or threes later in this game. I would highly doubt it would happen with Caleb Williams on the field for the reasons you mentioned, Rosie. I like the fact that they're trying it. I also just don't see Velus Jones on this roster, frankly, whether it's wide receiver or running back. Those are two positions that are set pretty well. You look at running back in particular, I'm wondering if Khalil Herbert's even going to be on this roster because they do really like their depth. And DeAndre Swift was a big pickup for them. They paid him a lot of money. He was priority number one at the start of free agency. They had a deal done literally minutes into the open negotiation period. They were ready to get that one done. So they're going to lean on DeAndre Swift quite a bit. Roshan Johnson's a guy they certainly believe in, and entering the second year, you want to see a little bit more of him. But I think Swift makes Herbert expendable. And down the line a little bit, you got Travis Homer, who's a specialist that they like. We'll see if they carry a fullback in Kari Blasen game. All this is to say it's going to be really difficult for a guy like Velus Jones to make this roster. You mentioned the depth at wide receiver, too. He's competing against a guy like Tyler Scott, Dante Pettis, who's a reliable veteran. A bunch of guys down the depth chart that they see opportunities for. And I would bet against Velus Jones being on this roster.
I think you're right. I, other than the jet sweep, I don't see a value for him in the offense. I think this running back thing is a desperate attempt to save Ryan Poles' failed third-round pick. And if you can't live without the jet sweep, you really need a whole different version of offense. And speaking of that, with Shane Waldron, and I know that Pete Carroll can sometimes sit on his offensive coordinators and maybe not let them do what they want to do. But in the first year with a new quarterback, Shane Waldron does magical things. Second year with Geno Smith, not as good as his first. First year with Russell Wilson and first year with Geno Smith were wonderful. Here's his first year with Caleb Williams. And I don't know, because you have a defensive-minded coach in Eberflus, I don't know what he will allow, not allow. Any sense of that? Any idea what exactly how much freedom Shane Waldron has?
I mean, this will be his scheme. This is his offense. Matt Eberflus, look, there's a lot of things he can and say about him as a coach, and rightfully so. I think one of the great strengths for him is, you know, he's able to bring in guys around him that he trusts, and he really delegates it, and that's the case on offense. He doesn't try to be, you know, he wants to be that CEO head coach, but he really leans on his OC, and Shane Waldron was the guy he sought out after getting rid of Luke Getsy. I'm still trying to get a sense of how this scheme will look and how he will evolve what they have with the personnel in place, the personnel that was built for this scheme over the last 2 years. All I can lean on right now is just conversations I've had with people around the league who know Shane Waldron's work, who know him personally. People I really like, respect, and trust have said, just been glowing about him, saying that he's going to be a guy who caters the offense to the strengths of his players. And in this case, obviously, nobody's more important than that than Caleb Williams. So I want to give Shane Waldron the benefit of the doubt from the start. I think you're going to see the scheme come together in time once you really see what you have and don't have is early rookie Caleb Williams and developing the offense around his skill set.
We're talking with Chris Emma. He covers the Bears for the Score. We're talking Bears here on the Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670. And the battle for center seems to be a battle for center and right guard at this point. And that's the line. So whether it's Shelton and Bates, you know, left to right and however it goes, though, they're the guys now. Darnell Wright's injury was sort of showed up. And do we know what it is? And it didn't sound like it was going to keep him out today, but we don't really know, do we?
I just talked with sources. They said it's nothing to worry about. It's just a minor thing in practice. Obviously, that's not the case with Nate Davis. Like, this has been a setback, not just for Nate Davis personally, but for this entire offensive line. And they built, and wisely so, a contingency plan around both of their guards, Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins, understanding that you didn't get enough out of those guys. They've not been able to stay healthy. And Nate Davis goes down the second day of full pads, and he's not been out there as a full participant since. It's been 2 weeks. We learned from Matt Eberflus that Nate Davis suffered a setback in practice on Tuesday. This is a multiple-week thing, so think about the timeline now. It's August 10th right now. Let's say it's 2 to 3 weeks. That is right up against the regular season. Do you want to have Nate Davis coming back at that point and say he's your right guard? I think they're making their contingency plans. I believe it's going to be Ryan Bates as your starting right guard and Coleman Shelton as your starting center, and they found they just simply cannot rely on Nate Davis being that guy for them. So I think at this point, given the timeline in place, they're ready to move on without him.
All right, Chris, we're going to move on, but expect to have another conversation with you after the first half. I really appreciate you joining me at halftime after Caleb Williams makes his debut and we see what this year's Bears look like this year for a half and however it goes. And the defense is facing Josh Allen, and McDermott said he's going to play his starters about a quarter. That's both offense and defense. So I think I love the idea of this test for the first team on both sides, and Josh Allen being Josh Allen, if they do what they do, I love that whole idea. Thank you for agreeing to come back to the show. I suck so you don't have to, so you feel protected, don't you?
Always. Take care, buddy.
All right. There he goes, the voice. The first media voice you heard on Hard Knocks, the iconic Chris Emma. We'll take a break when we come. Okay, so we weren't allowed to have Grody on because Mark Grody is on at 3 o'clock today after the Bears play. Mark will take you up to Cubs baseball, and I'll give you more on that in a minute. Mark's on from 3 till 5:40, right? That's how it's going to go. And we weren't allowed to have him on because he has his own show. Mark Grody's on the show. It is his show, and he's on that show, and he used to be on this show. This used to be his show.
This used to be his show?
Yeah,
but he has a show right after this.
Friendly, but he has another show. Yeah, and we weren't allowed to have him on, and then while I'm talking with Emma, he sticks his head. He goes, "Hi, buddy. How you doing?" Yeah. Oh, my God. No. All right. So let me make this clear. Tonight is the Crosstown Series season finale on the South Side as the Cubs take on the White Sox. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:40. Pat Hughes, I love saying it like Jeff Garland, Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for the first pitch at 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And now Mark Grody's on this show, even though he's got his own show after. No.
Can't you get anything right? I'm listening to you bumbling over all the Cubs pregame starts when? At 6:30?
I think
they'll be in the third inning.
That
by
was
then.
The original thing that the Ryan Porth sent to me.
Parth.
Yeah. Parth. Yeah. Why does it make you go into the Harry when you say his name?
Well, I'm actually glad you asked that because people are like, why does he always do Harry? Because one of the first Ryan Porth experiences I had was at the toast to Harry Carey, which was last year, and I think that was one of the first big events that our program director Ryan Porth was covering or a part of, and I was asked to do my Harry Carey impersonation, and so I'm just ad-libbing and improvising, and I'm just looking at people, and I see. You know, like Mitch and everybody. I see Ryan. Oh, there's our new guy, Ryan Porth. I was just in Harry, and that's how he would say Ryan Porth's name. So it was nothing like making fun of him. It was just me doing Harry and butchering names the way Harry did. And I think he would have called him Porth.
He would have. Yeah. Like Harry would always say quarter. That's a St. Louis thing. Quarter.
Quattery?
Yeah, but no, quarter. That's in coinage that comes after a dime.
Oh, quarter.
Quarter.
Quarter. Okay.
Quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard that. Give me fire quarters.
Yeah.
He would say fire quarters from Perth.
He would just stop at a court. No, Harry would never stop at a court. All right. So, you excited?
Very excited.
Yeah.
I would not be in here in these studios right now at 11:45 and hunkering down in Mitch's office to watch the game in silence away from everybody else if I wasn't excited. Like, I could have done the show from home today if I wanted to, but no, man.
No.
It's game day.
Yeah.
I need full 50,000 wattage here, man. So I am, yes, even before I did this business, I was geeked up about Bears preseason games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And now.
I'm ready, man. And I'm ready. I'll be doing, like you said, I'll be on the air right after the game, taking you up to whenever Cubs pregame is. I still have no idea.
Well,
Cubs pregame.
Well, they'll tell you. They'll just cut your mic.
You look good, by the way, man.
That'll be it.
Look at you, man. You look slim. You got the beard actually looks good on you.
I'm getting in touch
your
with
face
my,
looks thin.
My inner Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
I've been coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see you.
Just when you didn't think I could get any more insanely handsome. All right, we have to take a break. We screwed up the entire clock, the entire hour.
By the way, Tree, do you realize that you and I, the Tree, I know you guys got to take a break. Triano. Yeah, that's why
tree.
We do this.
You know,
yeah.
just came into
the tree. I think you and I, and then I'll let you take your break. I think you and I are the only ones at the radio station this year who were at Lollapalooza. Do you realize that you
yes.
and I were there the same day?
Yes.
Okay,
and
you were
Gabe
told.
Ramirez. Gabe Ramirez.
I can't
as well.
Hear. I don't have headphones.
He said Gabe
on.
Ramirez.
Oh, Gabe
well,
was
now
there.
Well, I'm an interpreter. This is like Woody Allen.
Gabe was getting
How
paid.
Are you?
How are you? Yeah, I don't have headphones on. So if you guys are playing sound bites and things right now, I have no idea. Gabe was getting paid to be there. I don't know if Gabe would have been there if he wasn't getting paid to be there.
We went for the love of it.
Yeah. What's you guys the were there saying? For the love of it. That's what he said.
Oh, we were there for the love of it. Yeah, man. Live music. It's what it's all about, bro.
It's the best.
Yeah,
I love
let's
it.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go. We screwed up the clock. We'll take a break. Coming up, top of the hour, the Bears will kick off. We will have, you know what? Nick Saban wasn't right. Nick Saban doesn't know his personnel. Spank Nick Saban a little bit. This is Saturday Suckage. We suck when it comes to keeping the accurate radio clock. Chicago Sports Radio is accepting the score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
They are in extra innings. The women's soccer gold medal game, the U.S. and Brazil. Mallory Swanson has given the U.S. a 1-0 lead. It is trying to protect in bonus time, overtime, extra time. Soccer is always a mysterious game. There are so many dumb things that happen with soccer, like deciding a gold medal from, 15 yards away, whatever it is, 20 yards away. It's like it might be a beautiful sport in some people's minds, but that's really a stupid way to settle it. You keep playing until somebody scores, and if nobody scores, then you need a different game. Mallory Swanson scored. Last name sounds familiar, as Robbie said. See, the U.S. is leading on a goal by Dansby Swanson's wife. She was Mallory Swanson. She always will be. You're just such a chauvinist.
A
localist. You were a localist. You were localizing it.
See, yeah,
you?
Exactly. See, I'm like if I'm working for a newspaper, I'm giving the headline to make it Chicago themed. Yes.
Bring an update, and we'll describe the thrill of gold medal winning U.S. team. Cheered on by Tom Cruise. He was their wingman, U.S. women's soccer tweeted out. All right, take a break. We can come back. Nick Saban on Hard Knocks. I got some knocks for Nick Saban. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
They are in extra innings. The women's soccer gold medal game, the U.S. and Brazil. Mallory Swanson has given the U.S. a 1-0 lead. It is trying to protect in bonus time, overtime, extra time. Soccer is always a mysterious game. There are so many dumb things that happen with soccer, like deciding a gold medal from 15 yards away, whatever it is, 20 yards away. It's like it might be a beautiful sport in some people's minds, but that's really a stupid way to settle it. You keep playing until somebody scores, and if nobody scores, then you need a different game. Mallory Swanson scored. Last name sounds familiar, as Robbie said. See, the U.S. is leading on a goal by Dansby Swanson's wife. She was Mallory Swanson. She always will be. You're just such a chauvinist.
A localist.
You're a localist. You were localizing it.
See, yeah,
you?
Exactly. See, I'm like if I'm working for a newspaper, I'm giving the headline to make it Chicago themed. Yes.
Bring an update, and we'll describe the thrill of gold medal winning U.S. team. Cheered on by Tom Cruise. He was their wingman, U.S. women's soccer tweeted out. All right, take a break. We can come back. Nick Saban on Hard Knocks. I got some knocks for Nick Saban. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It sucks, man. It sucks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.